tell us about the Narvik Conference, a little bit about its goals.
The ice is melting in the north, and the possibilities that occur while the ice is melting in shipping is very interesting. And for our port here in Norway, we have the only east-west rail connection between the North Atlantic Ocean to the Pacific Ocean through Sweden, Finland, and Russia. And if we can see the combination of a big Eurasian country in between these two big seas by using also the polar area in shipping, it can be a very interesting future for our port.
And there's been a lot of discussion all over around the circumpolar north about the opportunities for shipping and resource development, but also about some of the challenges, and you touched on this, that climate change is playing in all this. Just from your experience at your port, have you actually seen any of this?
We expect that the increase that's going to happen here by shipping out iron ore, you know, we are the biggest dry bulk port in Norway. We are one of the biggest in Europe in shipping out iron ore all over the world. And we expect that a lot of this shipping is going to go over the Arctic area for the years to come to Asia, and especially Japan, Korea, and China.
So you're talking about some huge opportunities that are in the future.
Yeah, that's correct. But the future is very near now. It can happen this year, it can happen next year. The future has, for our part, already started. So we believe that it will be very interesting and a very busy time as well.
What about some of the challenges that you're facing now in terms of being able to take advantage of these opportunities to the full extent?
You never know what kind of ice you're going to meet in the north, what kind of weather you're going to meet. We see that the climate is changing very fast, and also different kinds of weather. So it need to be we need to get some experience by doing this kind of traffic before it gets into a larger scale.
And is there ever any discussion with people from either the Canadian or the Alaskan Arctic about similar issues or similar projects that they're undertaking?
Yes. Not from the conference's point of view, but we do have representatives of, for example, Canada, who is going to speak about the Canadian Arctic and the resources of the North American Arctic northern areas. Mm. And so we keep an eye on what is going on in the North American Arctic as well. There are some, of course, some differences between the, shall we say, the European Arctic and the North American Arctic, in that the ice conditions in our Arctic, as it were, are probably easier than they are in the North American Arctic. And you see that, for example, by looking at the Barents Sea itself, because large parts of the Barents Sea is ice-free, and therefore the conditions are more conducive, for example, to the extraction and to the utilization of oil and gas resources, which we know are quite plentiful in the Barents region. That includes, you know, both offshore Norwegian and Russian areas. So there is a lot of commonalities between the North American and the European Arctic. But my understanding of the situation in the North American Arctic, that ice conditions, for example, are more difficult, and then they are here. But there is another aspect of the whole problem which we need to take care of, because you may know that the United States Geological Survey has issued some estimates about the presence of petroleum resources in the Arctic and in the rest of the world. And And they have come to the conclusion that the Arctic areas, including both North America and Eurasian Arctic, contains something like 22% of the world's undiscovered petroleum resources. Now, that, of course, immediately conjures up the question of where are the 78 other percent undiscovered resources? And so if we are to, and when we are sitting down to estimate what are the possibilities for the utilization of and to the exploitation of petroleum resources in the Arctic, we have to keep a very close eye on what is happening elsewhere because of the cost, relative cost of exploiting Arctic resources versus the cost of exploiting resources in other parts of the world. So, and we know that there's a lot of things going on. I mean, the whole question of China and Russia, their relationship, and who is going to buy gas from whom, and who is going to buy oil from whom, and so on. All these are questions that is constantly, in a state of flux. And of course, when we are talking about the Arctic region of European Arctic region, then of course we know that, for example, one of the biggest offshore or gas fields in the world, if it's supposed to be the second largest gas field in offshore gas field in the world, Shtokman, in the Russian parts of the Barents Sea, has been lying there for 20 years and or more. And not being exploited, because among other things, because of cost, and what is happening in North America with shale gas in the United States and so on. So it's a very complicated picture, and this is what we are trying to in this conference to come to grips with, because the situation is constantly changing, and what we thought was good estimates and good knowledge yesterday turned out the day after to be not so good and not so good knowledge and not so good estimate because of changing conditions.
Do you feel that people in Europe as a whole or in southern Scandinavia really understand the challenges and the issues and the importance of the North?
Yeah, I think so. And this conference is facing that kind of understanding as well. We have a representative from the World Wildlife Foundation to give a speech to the audience that will take the different kinds of not only possibilities but also challenges that we are facing in different kinds of way. What kind of environment there is in the North and what we need to take action to avoid, for not catastrophic event to happen. We need to do this in a very safe and secure way. So safety and security and environment is very important for us all in this conference as well.